Kara, stay standing. Can I just say what a trooper she is? We all know what a great hard worker. Here she is Saturday night, Washington AI Network, the biggest week of your life, and she chose to be with all of you tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
I actually forgot I said yes. That's
okay. I'm not surprised.
Like, an evening by myself, Tammy.
Well, you know what? Well, you may have forgotten. These folks here have been working all week on their questions.
Oh, fantastic.
Ask Kara anything, but okay. I get to ask the questions first.
Welcome to the Washington AI Network podcast. I'm Tammy Haddad, the founder of the Washington AI Network, where we bring together official Washington, D.C. insiders and AI experts who are challenging, debating, and just trying to figure out the rules of the road for artificial intelligence. This AI revolution has been led by industry, and governments are running to catch up.
Okay, so you're already an Amazon bestseller.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're already on all the different categories.
Well, computer and technology, memoirs, history for some reason.
History? What do you mean some reason? Oh. Don't you? I mean, you really tell that story.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
From the insider. That's
yeah, popular
good. There's
culture.
A documentary probably coming, you know, an HBO yeah. documentary
sure.
or something.
Sure.
On the
yeah.
history.
Yeah.
Right?
Why
I mean,
not?
I know you've already done Silicon Valley.
That's true.
Yeah. Who would you have play you, by the way, in, if you did that? Not the documentary, but the new Silicon Valley.
Oh, Holly Hunter, probably, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. But it has been a hell of a week. I don't know how many went to Six and I. Kara appeared here with Lorraine Powell Jobs mm-hmm. two nights ago.
I did.
And somebody, a spy, actually some of the Washington AI Network, one of our reporters was in line, and they heard someone say, when did Kara become Taylor Swift? They had to wait an hour. And why do you think this book has hit so hard? I mean, look, you're out there on media
yeah,
all the time.
I am.
But is this like a moment in history?
No, I think, you know, the book is really late, actually. It's 2 years late, which to the consternation of Simon and Schuster. But it's actually perfectly timed because right now we're all talking about AGI. In the interim, if it had come out 2 years ago, things wouldn't have happened. One, Elon lost his mind. Two, AGI had started to become really important, sort of the collapse of crypto. And we're at a new inflection point. And so it's a really good time to reflect on what's come before, because it really is a memoir of what came before to give us some guidance to where to go in the future. So I think it's well-timed. Other thing is, it's really easy to read. It really is. You'll find it super easy to read. I tried to do a history of the internet, not for dummies, but it's very fast-paced. And so you get a sense of how it went from one thing to the next and how these people who were, you know, nobodies became the richest people in the world. And since I met them before they were that, right when they started, it gives you a good sense of their journeys, each of their journeys, the different, it's not everybody. I've got a million stories not in there.
I was going to say, what got cut out?
Nothing got cut out. I just forgot about it. You know, I said that in the index. Like, if you're not in here, I forgot about you. I just don't know why. But, you know, a couple people I've run into on this tour, they're like, remember me? And I'm like, vaguely. Like, I'd spent a long time writing about Yahoo and Marissa Mayer and all the different CEOs that were there. There was Carol Bartz. There was a whole bunch. And I did a ton of reporting on that. And I thought, I don't care anymore. I don't think readers will either. It didn't matter. Like, it's sort of... So I tried to keep it to themes by using the different characters to go through a theme, whether it was Travis Kalanick around gender issues, because he was such a terrible person, is such a terrible person. I assume he's not gotten better. And, you know, Mark represents something. Mark Zuckerberg, Elon represents a through line throughout it. Steve Jobs, the various, Jeff Bezos.
But if you could right now go into any of these companies, which you know better than any other reporter... Mm-hmm. Right now,
yeah.
Okay, switch jobs. What company would you want to take over?
Wow, that's interesting. Probably Meta. I would do some things.
David.
I'd be your boss. I would do some things. Because it's the most important company still in right at this moment. It doesn't mean it's going to continue to be. But, you know, they've got a lot of stuff and they have a lot of impact. News flows over Facebook right now still. Instagram is enormous. You know, I like Threads a lot, as David knows. Although it's a low bar because Twitter's gotten such a toxic waste dump. But it's probably the most substantive in terms of impact on a wide range of people. You know, Apple would be fun, but I'm not that person, so.
Well, what about X right now? What would you do to fix it?
I don't think it's fixable now. He's wrecked.
Close it down?
Well, no, just today they just, again, dropped the valuation, and I think they're... It's kind to call it worth $12 billion. They've dropped it from 44 to 12 now. So it's, and that's kind, because I think the revenues have dropped. It was never a big company. People forget. Twitter was a terrible...
It was always complicated.
It wasn't complicated. It was a bad business. Just a bad business. It was always, you know, their stock sort of bounced along the bottom at $19 until Elon put up that amount of money, that 54 or whatever the heck that was, on a
think
a bad night.
What do you think his exit strategy is?
There isn't one. It's
you don't think Elon Musk says, he doesn't think, hey, maybe I'll get out of this. This is how I'll do it.
Well, he's hoping that he can use AI because Twitter has so much data, right? He's got a ton of data, and that's its strength. And so any company that has a lot of data is in the AI situation. So he's trying to use AI to bring it to the next thing. Unfortunately... he's trying to take most of, it's called XAI, I guess. He's using Twitter data and not paying Twitter shareholders the correct amount of value for it. So he's hoping to turn it into an AI company, I guess. That's his goal. It makes sense. It makes sense. He's just sued OpenAI because he's...
What's the goal with that? Just to mix it up?
No, he's just a jerk.
This is the second suit, right?
No, he had...
I mean, it's business purposes.
No, it's not business purposes. He's just really hurt that he's not the cool kid anymore. He's not the cool kid. Sam is.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Sam's interviewing you.
He is on Thursday? Thursday.
You can't go. It's sold out.
It's sold out. What I did as a tour is that people in the book are interviewing me, which I think is more fun and interesting, and more interesting conversations. But, you know, he's trying to make...
More interesting than this one? More interesting than
fantastic.
The questions these folks... By the way,
I'm excited to
you're
going to
walk over there. I don't know who's first, but that's where we want you to walk to. Go.
So I think, you know, he read the lawsuit. It's ridiculous. It's all about someone's personal mental challenges because they didn't win. He was zeroed out of there because he wanted to take control, and they declined that kind offer of taking control. And so now he's claiming there was a contract in place. There's no... Go talk to any lawyer. There's no contract here. And it's a litany of grievance, really. That's what he's doing now, grievance. But he's the richest man in the world, so it doesn't matter. And he's got SpaceX coming up, although I suspect the Defense Department is quite worried about him. And probably...
Are there any official investigations?
Lots of them. There's all kinds of investigations. But, you know, he like Trump, he gets out of a lot of them. And, you know, he's rich. Like, there's no reason. It's like owning a yacht. Like, even if you have a ridiculous...
Super yacht?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Just checking.
But it's not... It's, you know, it's like owning a yacht. He's just decided to spend money on this because his ego and his need for attention and his desperate need for attention... you know, all of his mental issues are playing out there. All of his... And, you know, obviously you read the journal. The drug use is not insubstantial, I think.
Well, you've been talking about that for a long time.
Years. I was glad someone finally wrote about it.
And why do you think all the people that are partying with him at various places aren't
coming forward? The
board?
You mean the board of Tesla?
Well, that was reported in the Wall Street Journal.
That was a great story because, well, why? They're made hundreds of millions of dollars. If this... You know, it's sort of like hanging around Howard Hughes, right? That's, I think, what it's akin to. You don't care if he's going crazy if you can walk away with $100 million. You don't want it. It's not in your interest to get him much-needed help.
So you're an incredibly powerful person. You're very powerful
in
tech.
No, I'm not.
Well, you are.
Okay, sure.
And you know, but all the people you wrote about, or maybe even if you talked to half of them, but if you went to them and you said... Listen, this is a moment you can all do better.
Mm.
Do you think anyone would listen to that?
I've been doing that for 30 years.
No, but I'm talking about today.
No.
You could call all of them.
No.
You could call Bob. You could call Brian. You could call...
No. I mean, no.
So you're saying there's nothing anything can do unless the government steps
That's
in.
That's correct. I don't have subpoena power. I don't have an ability to write regulation. I think we have abrogated our... I think our regulators and our public officials have... For all kinds of reasons, and there's no rules. I mean, there's regular rules for them, but not every company, every industry has specific rules that apply to them. And I've been using this week the example of the door blowing off that Alaska Airlines thing, and there 750 planes were grounded. investigations, firings. People got fired for that, right? People in charge of various things. And there's going to be legislation, I'm certain, you know, to deal with how things are done. There'll be lawsuits, tons of lawsuits. And that's how our system works. And it's not a bad thing. When you make mistakes and you're sloppy, which these looks like that's the case here, we'll see what happens. You pay for mistakes. And I think internet companies and tech companies should be under liability, which they are largely not. Now, I'm not talking about if there's an HR thing or something like that. Everybody is under the same rules. But I'm talking about specific legislation around privacy, around algorithmic transparency, on anti-hacking disclosure. I could name 20. A couple of years ago, I wrote the Internet Bill of Rights. Here's 10 bills I would pass. I think Ro Khanna was trying to get that done with Nancy Pelosi. But it never got done, so it doesn't matter.
So if someone from the White House or the Pentagon called you today, or maybe they're here in this room, and they said, Kara, what should we do? Is there any specific thing you would say other than regulate?
I think the private... The first line of the book is, so it was capitalism after all. I think private companies having so much power or critical infrastructure, including national security, is problematic. I'm sorry, it just doesn't make any sense. And I get that big companies have long been part of the government's, you know, but they don't run everything. These people are making decisions. The government's abrogated real research money into AI. It's all controlled by four companies right now, who are now getting some pushback from copyright, which we have very strong copyright laws. But it's like pushing back the ocean with these people, and so. You know, it can work. Look, music looked like it was on the ropes with Napster, and then they sued them out of existence, essentially. But they eventually worked it out. They worked out, this is our content, this is what you're going to pay for it, this is whatever, and it's...
Come on in, Simone.
Hi, Simone.
Simone and Crystal, ladies and gentlemen, come on in. We've got a seat there. Is there some seats there, David? There you go. Okay, you can see. Simone, you're here just in time. Do you have a question for Kara?
I do, actually. Kara on the news.
Oh, on the news?
Congratulations.
Thank you, Simone.
Kara, look, the people, are you concerned that, first of all, you're saying the quiet part out loud? Mm-hmm. I think the things that everybody thought, but you know for sure.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about backlash? Are you concerned that any of the criticism?
Against me?
Yeah.
What backlash would there be? That they're mad at me?
Any backlash, yeah.
I don't care. And also Roberta Kaplan's my lawyer, so that's good. She volunteered to be my lawyer in case Elon sued me. She's like, absolutely. She's actually in a case that's just ridiculous that they're suing the CHCD. It's a group of people that basically used public Twitter information about hate speech on Twitter, and he's sued them. He's trying to silence them because he loves that First Amendment. Free speech. So no, he can. I mean, that would be probably the person, because he's so unstable, to do that just because he's rich. But no, I don't expect a backlash. I think really smart people. I've gotten a lot of actual like, this was good. I don't know.
I'm trying to move her to the next level, though. So
but you know,
I'm
what
to
one
move
thing
her into getting these guys together.
I can't.
And doing
can't.
Something. Why not?
Because I don't have that power. I know you think I do, but I don't. I can just suggest things and talk about them, like issues, like lot different things that are going on, and that we should pay attention because, artificial general intelligence is the next big landscape in computing. This is not cryptocurrency. This is big. This is a huge thing. It's going to change jobs all over the world, really.
And speaking of that, our first question is from the great Miriam Vogel. You guys know her at the head of Equal AI, and she's been working on AI for 5 years.
Wow.
Miriam, go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Tammy. Kara, my question is, in following you and listening to you on Pivot, et cetera, I think it's fair to call that a semi-religious experience.
Oh, thank you.
Hearing your sermon from there twice a week from Rabbi Kara.
Good show.
And yeah, Scott, we can hear some optimism. We can hear some tech optimism,
sure.
Certainly from Scott and certainly from you. But as we read in your books, I think the technical term you called these guys were assholes.
Some of them.
Yeah. And so I think the predominant message that we're hearing in our audiences across the country and the world on AI is fear.
Fear.
People are afraid of being replaced, losing their job, bias, discrimination, all totally reasonable.
Lots of
national
issues.
Security. And yet
you left out killer robots, but go ahead.
Absolutely. But you remain optimistic.
I do, partially.
Share with us how we can embrace that. I share your optimism, but how do you respond to that?
Okay, there's a lot of people. They're either, I'm not dropping a name, but Sam and I are going to talk, so we just talked before this a little bit about what we're going to, that's my son, one of my kids. I did it. I think that what's really interesting to think about is there's two groups of people right now, the techno-optimists/accelerationists, AI accelerationists, and the decelerationists. I think they're both full of shit, right? You know what I mean? Because there can't be... I had one person who was on the board of OpenAI who's like, if Sam Altman isn't stopped, humanity is doomed. And I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, this is ridiculous. It's a larger, bigger playing field. At the same time, you have someone like Marc Andreessen with his nonsense of you're either for us or against us. How ridiculous to be concerned about safety issues and also... interested in the positive parts, and I'll start with the positive parts, you know, stuff around cancer research, stuff around figuring out waste. There's a lot of waste in this world, how to figure that out, how to figure out answers to things that there's so much data and pulling out really good answers and having really good, and I'm not talking about the weirdnesses that happen. That'll work itself out. It really will. But, you know, there's all kinds of answers in that data that we can really help us, especially around healthcare, especially around things like hunger, climate change tech. There's all kinds of possibilities here. There's so much great information, so much data, weather data, you know, all kinds of stuff. It also can relieve us of a lot of stuff that we do that's rote, right? You can think of that. At the same time, and a lot of prominent AI scientists like Dr. Fei-Fei Li, who I really love, Jeff Hinton, are worried because of they're not worried about the AI. They're worried about people using the AI as is appropriate. And so I really worry that, like, one of the stories in the book was when the Google fellas, the twins, were trying to take over Yahoo. They would have had 97% of the market share, which I thought was a lot. And it was a monopoly, like, if they did that. Of course, they didn't think that way because it was efficient, et cetera. And I didn't think they should have control over pricing of all of digital advertising. That's what would have meant so many different things because search at that time. Now, it's less so now because it's spread out a little bit more. But they would have had unlimited power in that area. And I wrote a piece that I said, this is just ridiculous that they could have a monopoly. And the Obama administration was bear-hugging them. Let me just say, it isn't Democratic or Republican. The Obama people really
she was there.
The ball. Sorry, they did.
Not in that role.
They dropped the ball. In order to do something smart about it. Before, we got all this partisanship. Now it's impossible. But so I said I wrote a piece and I said, one of the lines that really bugged them was this line that says, at least Microsoft knew they were thugs. Like, Microsoft knew what they were like. Like, at the time, this is under Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer. Satya's a different cat, essentially. And they called me. One of them called me and said, I'm not a thug. Why are you calling me a thug? He was all hurt. Like, can't believe it. I was like, what do you care what I think of you? Get yourself a dog if you really want someone to love you. It's stupid. And I said, I'm not worried about you. This is something I talk about a lot. I'm not worried about you. You are a nice, kind of nice person, right? I don't find you malevolent or villainous. And I quoted Yeats with, you know, slouching towards Bethlehem, waiting to be born to them. And I said, there's someone coming, and it's going to be bad. Don't you understand history? There's always someone coming that's going to abuse these technologies, and you never think of them. And of course, they didn't know anything I was talking about with the poem. I was like, all right, fine, I'll try something else. And I kept trying to, like, get through to them. It's not you that I'm worried about. It's the next person who has unlimited power and unlimited decision-making and is inept to the job, either inept or malicious, like, worse still. But inept is just as bad in many cases. And so I was worried about that. And they just, it never sunk in. I was like, the consequences of things they were doing would have repercussions for years to come. And the last thing, there's a quote in the book that's the key quote in the book, which is a quote by Paul Virilio, which is, when you invent the ship, you invent the shipwreck. When you invent electricity, you invent electrocution. When you invent the plane, you invent the plane crash. I get it. Like, every technology comes with its negative side, but can we have a lighthouse? Can we have good radar? Can we have, you know, an ability to control it?
We don't have that. And they don't mind the plane crashes. They don't mind. And there's multiple ones. There's multiple shipwrecks. So why is it crazy to say, let's put some things in place? Because it's decimating industry. The media industry decimated. I'm sorry, it's decimated. What the repercussions of that are huge, right? Huge. Now, I don't think things shouldn't change, but it's enormous. And then, but they don't care about repercussions because they're all moving to Mars, you know, whatever.
Thank you, Miriam. And here is your special burn book.
Thank
you.
Oh,
glass
wow.
coaster. Miriam, you're up next.
What are you doing there? You're giving
me. Come on, it's question. Oh, wait, hold on. Matt's there. Matt, you go. You,
Tammy right, always great. Has like a swag.
Okay,
thing.
Here we go. Miriam Muika.
You don't want those, it's okay.
What is your question for Kara Swisher?
So just earlier this week, I was listening to actually also one of your podcasts, a very devoted listener. Mm-hmm. And for full disclosure, I did work for Google previously.
Sure.
And you had mentioned about, you know, this great concept about how a lot of these big tech companies were led by legends and that these new CEOs came on.
Yeah.
And they made them better businesses. And you referenced, you made a passing reference about Apple and privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to ask a lot of people in this room, maybe those two things would come together in their minds. Mm-hmm. But it was always fascinating to think, especially maybe we were more aware of it at Google, that they have such a big operation in China.
Yes, they do.
And
but that's like throwing mud at them with China, right? Like
yeah.
They are a privacy forward company compared to Google. Google's an information thief, but go ahead.
But no, I mean, but with the operations that they have in China, it is it really exposes them in certain ways that
that's
other
true.
Other companies are
all
like
of us.
Dragonfly got like closed down
mm-hmm.
in terms of the China
yep.
Angle. And so do you think that's hypocritical in any way or misleading given the heavy, and I have to say Microsoft also very, very heavy presence in China, but
only Google doesn't, but they were there. They left because of all the hacking, but go ahead.
Well, no. So it's just ironic. Okay. They're getting a pass. And also I think it's fascinating how, despite that, Microsoft in many ways is running circles around other companies when it comes to regulation or government.
Yes,
affairs, government
they always, Brad Smith is a very talented
so
person.
So how do you see that sort of two-sided
Well,
story.
This is China. We should not be making our phones in China. We just shouldn't. I never thought that. I've had a long argument with Apple over this. And even though there's been no proof that there was a big story that they were inserting all kinds of things within the things. There's never been proof. I would like proof, right? You know, that would be nice. I just think that we need to think about these things as surveillance devices.
Elizabeth Falcone's here from Warner's office. Do you want to give her some proof
okay.
after the
anyway,
interview?
No, but there is no, not about the chip. There just isn't. There just I've done millions of
I'm just causing trouble here. I'm
there
trying
isn't.
To be Kara Swisher.
Okay.
How am I doing? Come on now. Come on now.
But you just made that up, so
yeah,
that's different.
That's true.
I do think their exposure in China, not just for surveillance, but also their business is very, they sell a lot into China, is problematic for them. That is their biggest, every company has a flaw. That would be theirs. I would think that would be theirs if you had to pick it. Not on the way they take care of your information. I think they're excellent on that. They really are. But that said, it doesn't really matter because China can come into this country. We have such an open landscape. I mean, there's a great book by Kashmir Hill called, I think it's Kashmir Hill. Was it Kashmir? It wasn't Kashmir. It was called This Is How They Tell Me the World Ends. And it's all about, it's not Kashmir, it's whatchamacallit. It's a great book because it makes you understand that we started the whole thing by creating all these tools, Stuxnet, things like that. And now the whole world, there is so much landscape for the Chinese, especially because they're adept at it, and the Russians not as adept. Just they're more stealing money. That's their game, right? Chinese are really within all our environments. And at the same time, the Chinese, I wrote a column a couple of years ago saying this, when TikTok started to get popular, this was a long time ago, I said, this is the best new product I've ever seen in terms of a piece of software and social network. It's more an entertainment network, as far as I was concerned. And this is the best thing I've ever seen in years, and it's a surveillance network, and I use it on a burner phone. I got in so much trouble for saying that. I was like, what are you talking about? The Chinese Communist Party, this air balloons over Washington, of which there are many, by the way. We don't need a balloon. They've got, they're in 300 million phones, right? They have so much data and information. So when it comes to Apple, absolutely. They have the China thing, and also with Microsoft. With Google, they have they have not been an honest player around information, and they have resisted every attempt to do any reasonable legislation around it. They also had a monopoly in search, just plain and simple. Now, that's changed. We'll see where the Justice Department goes on that. I think it's probably too late, you know, because now Amazon does search. Like, everybody does search now, so that's going to be changing. But I think Meta's been more sloppy around your data than they have, but they are all sloppy because they don't have to be. But you make a good point about China. Yes, they're exposed. Lots of our, but we shouldn't be making products like this in China. Absolutely not.
I agree. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Thank you, Miriam. Okay, Matt Glassman, WRC.
Hi, Kara.
Hi.
So you talk about media companies getting decimated, and I've seen you talk about how they've been asleep at the wheel. They've lost all their advertising.
Yeah.
Question one is it too late for them? Question two is, if not, what's their path? And question three is, what do you say to the companies right now that are the hot companies that have sort of taken their place so that the same thing doesn't happen to them in a couple decades?
Well, you know, what is Threads or Instagram or TikTok but entertainment? They are. And by the way, a purveyor of news now. They're not maker of news. But what happened is they came, I've said this a number of times already, I'll repeat myself, which is when they started coming in with all their digital advertising stuff, I was very worried. I was like, wait a minute, that's the heart of it. And I was with Larry at one point when he was trying to get the publishers to let him take all their books and put them in the Google system, scan the books. Then he bought a library of them that were out of print to do it, but he couldn't get the new ones. And they rebuffed him initially, and then there were lawsuits when they did it. They just did it. It's crazy that you would do that with other people's IP, but they didn't care. And he came back, and I was with him, and he goes, "Oh, they've all said no." And I said, "Of course they said no. Why would they give you their stuff?" And he goes, "Because I'm going to make it available to everyone." I'm like, "It's not yours to make available. Why would you? It's theirs." He's like, "Information needs to be free." I said, "Well, you didn't pay for it, so sure, yeah, that makes sense from your point of view," because they thought the distribution wasn't a big deal. And these tech companies came in. And if you recall, Facebook did this. We're going to help you. New York Times, they did a deal. So did Google. They did all these deals. We're going to give you money. Anyone shows up, we're going to give you money to help you distribute your content. I turned them down. I was like, no fucking way you're getting your hands on my shit. Like, I'll find audience myself. So they came in and did that. And then for some reason, media companies did not think they were media companies, and they're media companies.
Well, they wanted to be part of the new thing.
Yes, but they didn't have distribution. They didn't have, so one, they forgot to do technology themselves, but they were incapable of doing it. Steve Jobs was at a meeting of News Corp people and said, "I don't care what you do, you can't beat me." He was honest about it. He's like, your tech people suck. All the good people work for me. They were moving into media, and for some reason, media didn't think they were. It's just a different media, right? It's different. So what's going to happen? These are going to have to be much smaller companies, and the costs are going to have to meet revenue. And the revenue is declining for at least broadcasts, for sure. It's done.
So it's all nonprofits?
No. You can either be owned by a rich person like a Lorraine Powell Jobs or Jeff Bezos. That's one way to go, but that's very nice. Lorraine is lovely, but still, you know, relying on the kindness of billionaires is not something I like to do. Or you have to figure out a way to make smaller little companies. Like, you have Puck, you have Casey's. I did it for years.
Vox.
We did great. Vox is a medium company. It's harder to be a medium company. But, you know, I had, like, for my podcast, I happen to own all my IP. I have 3 employees. We make a ton of money. Like, great for me, but that's just me and 4 people, essentially. So they have to be a lot smaller, a lot more nimble. There's all kinds of stuff like that. Or you have to be quite bigger, like you have to be just bigger and dominant, like the New York Times, but like, which is considered the gold standard.
By the way, speaking of stealing IP, what about these AI-generated Kara Swisher covers?
I'll get to that in a second, but that's a good thing. It's Amazon's nightmare that it was me that got stolen from. But in the case of New York Times, their revenues are $2.4 billion. That's it. It's a small company. It's really small, and their profits are not that big. It's 100-some million. That's a small business, I'm sorry, compared to Facebook, which I forget. David, you can tell me, was it $40 billion in net income or $40 billion in revenue in the quarter? I don't know. It's huge. I mean, it's like it's a battleship compared to a small – New York Times is a small little boat, and that's our big winner, like problematic. And then these AI-generated things is really interesting. So what happened, if you hadn't read about it, I think the Post wrote about it. Amanda, my wife, saw it. She's like, "What are all these Kara Swisher books? she was searching for my book and all these fake Kara Swisher books. AI generated all kinds of really ridiculous looks of me and books about
pantaloon pants.
Yeah, right, pantaloon.
Big pants. Giant earrings.
It's beyond the looks of it. They were pieces of shitty content. And what was amazing was they were selling them and then they were pairing them. And Savannah Guthrie, for example, has written this best-selling God book. And there was a workbook that Amazon was selling with it. It was a fake work. It wasn't hers. And so I wrote Andy Jassy. I go, excuse me, my IP is being abused. And you're selling it. And, you know, they're sort of like, well, we let people do things. I'm like, you're letting people steal my IP. I'm Gucci, and you're letting knockoffs in my store. What are you doing? And so they were really like, oh, no, of all the people, you know, it's Kara. And it was. It was really any book that's popular gets ripped off. And that's a ripoff of my IP. It's my brand. It declines my brand. It affects them. I could probably sue them. Like, what are you doing? Why are you selling stuff? Why are you allowing it? Of course, it's out of control because anyone can put books on Amazon. You can self-publish on Amazon. So I'm guessing it's from like Myanmar or the Philippines. People are just pushing the button and creating Kara Swisher books. And then they'll do it for everybody on the bestseller list.
So. Okay. Ellen Ginsberg.
Hi, everybody. I was just wondering, obviously you have a pretty amazing list of people you've interviewed. If there's somebody who's on your wish list or your dream interview, and also maybe who your favorite interview has been.
You know, it has to be Jobs. They were so interesting. He's so smart, and he was really challenging, and he pushed back in a really good way. Those were really, and of course he died, like, right? So, you know, that last interview when he died, before he died, was really something. He was so vibrant and so interesting, and it was just, you never knew what he was going to say, and he was like, in that interview, he's like, look, this thing is going to be big. This was 15 years, he said now, something like that. He goes, this is going to be huge. You have the pod and broadcasting. Podcasting. He named it. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I went back. I was like, this is where it was named, by this guy. Same thing with 10 or 12 things. So someone who had that kind of record, you know, it was really quite something, the stuff they made. That has been a special company in that regard. It changed the whole thing with the iPhone.
Yeah.
The iPhone changed everything. Like, Uber wouldn't have existed. Airbnb wouldn't exist. Like, dozens. You know, Instagram wouldn't have existed. And that's been terrific for Meta. Thank God they bought Instagram. You know, it's a real moneymaker. And so that was, for person, I mean, the people I want to interview, I pretty much interviewed everyone. It's really crazy. When I look at showing them, it's really nuts how many people I've interviewed. Thousands of people, or hundreds and hundreds of people. I want to do an interview, I think I said this at Six and I, I want to interview Dolly Parton and Taylor Swift together, and I only want to talk about business. I do not care about boyfriends or Kentucky. I mean, sorry, but I don't care about Tennessee, wherever she's from. I don't care. Whatever. Sweet Tennessee home. I don't want to hear any little cuteness from her. I want to hear, she owns a ton of IP. She's managed her career in this astonishing way. Same thing with Taylor Swift. I recommend going back and seeing Miss Americana now that you know how it ends. She's brilliant. She's a brilliant business person. So I would love to talk to them. I'm talking about songwriting, which is interesting, but their business acumen is massive. Talk about media people that really get it and are making products. I'd love to do them, but together, because I think that would be a really, that would be my, I've tried. I've talked to Taylor's. Very, exactly. But she owns a ton of IP. People don't realize that.
And does great things.
Does great things with it. You know, I'm fine. I'm thrilled she gives away money or she supports Beyonce's country album, which is excellent. But I really want to talk about business, being entrepreneurs. That would be, you know, the Taylor did that with the Masters. Brilliant. Brilliant what she did. She grabbed it from those, and I know them. They were assholes that had her stuff. She took it back from them, and she's like, I'm taking the Masters, and I'm going to have a relationship. And the fan relationship is so interesting from her perspective. She doesn't need anybody. She doesn't need companies. And then she sold the movie. Just everything she does is like, this is a really special business person, I think, beyond this creativity. So that's what I'd like to do. But so far, no. So I've asked many times.
Hi there, Trooper Sanders. My day job, I run Benefits Data Trust. One part is we're trying to figure out, can you fix the American social safety net using AI responsibly?
Oh.
Big question.
Oh.
But my question for you is, if you were the board chair of one of the big public AI companies,
mm-hmm.
What would you recommend they stop? What would you recommend they start to use AI responsibly and keep their valuation?
Right. Well, that's hard, right? You know, there's shortcuts to make for more money. I have not been asked to be on the board of OpenAI, just so you know. But I've made suggestions to them. You know, Dr. Fei-Fei Li, I'd like it to be a diverse group of people, but also experts. You don't want to just sort of virtue signal people. But there's, I would focus in on safety, being the company that's like, in the way Apple's the privacy company. I'd say that we're the safety company. We're going to responsibly copyright by copyright. I have respect for copyright, where we get our data from. I would talk about data provenance, where the data's from. I think that's critically important. I would encourage Congress to pass data provenance rules so that everybody has to play that way, so that people can't just be fast and loose. I'd focus on safety. I thought the Biden administration's executive order was pretty interesting. There's a lot around not social justice but bias. It hit all the right notes, I think, and then also had a lot about innovation. I'd also want to really seed. I think the government should do this, seed a lot of companies, small companies, because these big companies are, because it's so, compute is so expensive. It's just impossible for small companies to live in the current environment. So I would have a huge government effort to, I would encourage that. But that's not in their interest. And then as evaluations, you know, if you do the right thing, you're going to have a lesser valuation. It's just, it's easy. There's so many bad players. There's so many players that are taking shortcuts. It's going to be, and then I would protect against what's going on in China, because there are, right now, AI is in U.S. fueled. Yeah. Yes, U.S. is ahead again, once again. This is our opportunity to push back.
Maybe you should be on that ad campaign. Maybe you should do it that way. We're ahead.
Maybe we should have a federal agency about information, but then of course it has all those first, you know, you got Josh Hawley, who loses small mind. But he's not, actually he's very smart, that's not true, but he's a terrible person. You know, we should probably have an agency, it's never going to happen, but around this, around data, around this stuff, but it always runs into First Amendment thing, although they kind of, all these very loud tech people think they represent free speech. They're not. They don't have any idea. First Amendment's about the government. But there's never going to be an information agency, but there probably should be.
Well, what about the new U.S. Safety Institute? That's a start,
yeah,
right?
No, but not, no, there needs to be like a cabinet level. You know, we have the chief information officer. My ex-wife was one. But it's got to be, that's across all the agencies. And of course, it has to be within them. But I think there needs to be, you know, they've talked about it in Congress, but it will run right into the buzzsaw of people that think it's 1984. There's just not going to happen.
How do you use generative AI now?
Me? I use it all the time. I recommend everybody try it, because it's in a crude form. It's like the early internet. When you used it, it was like, what is it doing? It's a lot of glitches. I use it every day for different things. You have to figure out what it's using for, because when you used the iPhone for the first time, you didn't know what apps would be developed, right? You didn't. So you have to use them all the time. You have to put, at the end of the book, I use it just as a joke, but it's, you can use it for all kinds of collating. I use it for history stuff, and I don't rely on it because the data is unclear. It's unclear what the data is. You know, it's crap and, what is it, garbage in, garbage out. So I use it different things. The other day, I was looking for some headlines, and I used it really good for that. Ideas, I'll put in, I'm thinking of doing this. It'll give me 100 ideas about 80 of them are stupid, and 20 of them are kind of interesting. I hadn't thought of it because it has so much data. It's just not, you know, if I was a doctor, I'd be using it. You know, my brother is an anesthesiologist, and the way he uses it, if he has a difficult case, he would talk to three doctors, two of whom would not be right, right? So it doesn't really matter. And then he puts it into generative AI. He gets all kinds of stuff. Then he can evaluate it. But it's also, he's always like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Like drug interactions could be really, once they get really good data, that could be something, because people die from drug interactions a lot. That doesn't have to happen when we have the good data in there. You'd be surprised how many people die from drug interactions.
David Adler.
Yes, hi, Kara. I have to say I finished the entire book.
Oh, okay.
Listened to it at 1.35.
Okay.
In one day, and it was fantastic, but it up the memories of what happened over your lifetime of coverage.
Good, I'm glad.
And it reminded me of the entrepreneurial side of this thing. Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur,
yep.
I was able in 1999 to raise $4 million in the back of Zeke Brofman's Briss.
Oh, cool.
And then 4 months later, after the bubble burst, you couldn't raise any money. So I want to know, what is the runway for this new phase that we're in? And do we have time? Or is it...
For AI?
For the whole new entrepreneurial... Every angel group in America is going crazy supporting AI groups.
Yes, well, they should. It's going to be...
How long will this
last? I don't know. For a while. This is really important.
This is a long
one. This is a big deal.
Right, but the big companies are so far ahead, right?
Well, they're just
so
big.
So you're worried about that.
Every small company, everybody's got an AI idea.
Yeah, but there will be. That's great. That's terrific. That's what's great about the US of A. I'm sorry. There'll be an AI of insurance, and one will lead. There'll be an AI of this gene folding. There'll be an AI of... like dry cleaning, there'll be everything. Like it'll hit everything just the way apps did, right?
And so then the A-bomb will not drop for a while.
Yes, there'll be some companies that drop out. This is the way it is, you know, overinvestment. That's a good thing. It's not, you know, and you know, there's so much money sloshing around the world, and crypto is kind of like been pushed off to the side. I never thought that much of it. I kept arguing with the crypto people. I like blockchain. I get it and stuff. But I was like, money is digital. Like, why are we digitizing money? Who's seen their money ever? Do you ever see your money? You have a safe like Gringotts at Hogwarts and it's there? No, no one sees their money. It doesn't exist. It does exist, but it doesn't exist. But I get why they did it. Right now it's a speculative asset, Bitcoin is. That's what it is. It's not for use for anything. I think there's going to be a fallout. There's going to be an overinvestment. But, like, you know, Sam's raising $7 trillion for a chip fab thing. You need that much money. You need that. NVIDIA's now the hottest stock ever, and worth it. Worth it. They were doing gaming chips, and now they were in the right place. So.
John Heflin, Trustable AI, part of the AI wave. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this to you before the event, but I believe it was chapter 10 where you talk about, you know, the homogeneousness of the tech bros,
that's
right?
That's true, yeah.
And, you know, thinking about this new wave of AI that's coming through, how do we avoid these mistakes, right? So, like, you know, Gemini kind of overcorrected.
Sort of. It'll sort of.
It felt a little overcorrected. I mean, some of
the
images.
Yes, but it was just a tempest in a tea. It was just perfect for the anti-woke people. Oh, look at that. They never minded when every picture of a CEO was a white guy. They never got indignant about that. But fine, whatever.
But what do you think is the way we avoid these mistakes with the new generation of AI companies that are coming up, right? Like, what's your thought on how we avoid...
I don't think we do. I think this is a line I say in the book, which is, you know, they confuse merit. They say they're a meritocracy, but it's a mirrortocracy. They like being with each other. They really do, you know, and they really do, you know, it's an expression, they start on third base and they think they hit a home run. They get all the money. They get all the contacts. And so, you know, you either have to believe that only straight white men are the most smartest people on earth, or something's wrong, right? And I'm with the something's wrong. And I think you see it all over the place. It's just it's funding, it's cap tables. People aren't on the cap tables. There's not the money. Now, there's some people like Melinda Gates, Lorraine Powell Jobs. There's a bunch of people, Bezos's ex-wife, who's doing Mackenzie Scott, trying to seed a lot of things. She's more in the philanthropy space, but she's investing too. So you start to see that, but it's largely because people invest where they feel comfortable. I feel the reason it's unsafe, as I said in this book, so much is they just don't think about it. They just, like, what? Oh, I had one guy who finally got attacked on Twitter, and he called me. He's like, oh, my God, they're terrible to me. And I'm like, wow, welcome to gay people of color, and women. This is our lives on that, you know, kind of thing. And so they were sort of like, that's not nice. I'm like, no, it's not nice. It's not nice to me. You know, I was at Twitter since the very beginning, and I cannot put comments on. It's just, if I wanted to be called, see you next Tuesday, every day, I would do it. But I don't want to be. I don't use it that much anymore. So it's just, I just use it to strafe Elon just to bother him.
So you're optimistic, is what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't know what will change. I mean, like, look, Sam Altman, he's gay. Okay, great. Like, I was just talking to him. He's like, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, let's talk about gay. Let's talk about being gay. And he goes, that's a small dinner party, because it's me and Tim Cook and him. And then the other two are Peter Thiel and Keith Raboy. We don't want to have dinner with them. So that's it. It's just the three of us, you know, pretty much. And you know that, but that's a different point of view, right? He's a white man who's been privileged, so then he's got both of them are. So there's that. So I, in this case, diversity is an asset. And there's study after study. Get away from the we should just do it for that. There's study after study after study. I would point to Mark Cuban's arguments on Twitter. He's like wading in there. He's talking about his companies and why he thinks diversity, equity, inclusion is important. And he's fantastic. If you go back and read all the stuff, he says, here's why we do it. Here's why I didn't, and then I changed, and why my companies are better. If we have more people like that talk about that, you have to stop arguing with these anti-woke people, right? You just have to stop and say, here's the results. Here's the results when we do this. Here's the product. It should be a selling point for a product, right? That it's safer, that it's, you know, I just think it's a selling point for everybody. And, you know, the famous example in the book is Mark and I arguing over anti-Semitism. We'd started talking about Alex Jones as a parent. I was offended that he wasn't kicked off, even though he broke the rules. And I kept arguing with him about that. And he shifted it to anti-Semitism. And he went on his free speech, whatever, which I don't think is particularly sophisticated. And I believe you can draw a straight. I don't blame him for anti-Semitism. Let me be clear. He didn't start the fire. But it didn't help that they didn't kick off Holocaust deniers right away or limit them or push them down or something like that. And their commitment to what they think is free speech is commitment to dangerous speech, and they can't tell the difference. And so, you know, it took him, and then 2 years later he did just what I said, right? 2 years of anti-Semitic nonsense being, nonsense, toxic stuff, being spread on that network was not a good thing. And we can't take it back because this stuff goes everywhere. It's like mold. It goes everywhere. So,
all right. Thank you so much for that question. So, Kara, we want to give people time to get you to sign their book, 100%. Right? But before we go, I have to say you're such a fearless person. Mm-hmm. This book is truly a love story. I cried at the end.
Did you?
David Adler, did you cry?
The end is for
David
me.
Cried too.
No, I went for it. I went for the sentimental.
And I just want to say in front of all of these folks how important you are to all of us and to the industry. And it's great that you're back in Washington telling everyone what to do.
No, they're not listening to me, Tam.
They're not listening to you, but we are.
Let me just say, AI could be amazing for all of us. I think it really could. The gene folding, the cancer research, the climate change tech. You could think, this is one of the key parts of the book was when I talk about Star Wars versus Star Trek. And Star Wars is a very dark, dyspeptic, almost Holocaust-like story. It really is. I've interviewed George Lucas about it. He says it, that it's not, evil prevails all the time in that thing. Good people die in that thing constantly. Star Trek is a much more open, diverse look at the future, like that it's solutions can be had. And it was unusual that this interview with Steve that I'd forgotten about, where he said, I want Star Trek. I like Star Trek. I don't want anything but that. And I think I'm not being just ridiculously optimistic when you could see all, if we share it among each other, that it could be a lot better, that very wealthy people shouldn't get everything. Like, it's just ridiculous at this point. And then they get to you know, just of late, why do we care what Elon Musk thinks about cesareans? I had one. Fuck you. Stop talking about it. Stop telling me about big-headed children. Get the fuck off my lawn. You know what I mean? Or, you know, Bill Ackman on diversity and inclusion. Just stick with hedge. I don't usually say stay in your lane, but in this case, get off this lane. You have no idea what you're talking about. But he's rich, so everybody listens to him. You know, it's just exhausting that because you have money, you think you have expertise, and it's just not the case. The last thing I would leave with you is, guess who paid for the internet? You did. It's guess whose data fuels it? Your data. It's just, you know, honestly, this is not a favor they did for us. They rode on our rails and made all this money, and they back things that are in their self-interest. That's why it says, so it was capitalism after all, but it doesn't have to be capitalism that takes away from people and gives it to a small group of people. It just doesn't have, there's so many miracles here. And that's why that's why it's a tech love story. I love the tech, but boy, am I tired of people taking the juicy parts and leaving the shit for us. It's just, that's enough of this. So that's what I would say.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Kara, so much. And I have a special award for you.
Wow, that's dangerous looking with, I have toddlers. This
yes.
is
and Kara, I'm not sure I like that. From the Washington AI Network, you are a Washington monument.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI. The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media. Thanks for listening.